Good morning. God's blessings to you. And greetings in the name of the one that Paul, when he was writing about, said, He is our peace. Peace is one of the most beautiful words we can say. It's such a lovely word with such depth of meaning. And it comes as a result of the one that Isaiah said would be called the Prince of Peace. That's why I see husbands and wives here this morning sitting together, and I see peace in your relationship. And that doesn't mean that it's, you know, just perfect in every case. It doesn't come without things to work through. But you're here, you're in ministry, and I see you love each other, and you're at peace with each other. You know what that means, don't you? To be at peace with each other and with God. And you also know what it means when there's something wrong and you don't have peace at the moment. And you know what it takes? It takes the Prince of Peace. It takes us coming to Him in prayer and working through it until we have peace. God bless you, Brother Lee, Brother Elmer, for bringing us together here. And God bless you, Brother Aaron and Brother Tim, for the messages you brought to us this morning. And we look forward to more. As we're together here, we're thinking this morning of making peace and keeping peace. And just for us, not the text to be the foundation from the Bible for us to draw from this morning, but just think, let's think a little bit about how Jesus is the Prince of Peace and how He brings peace wherever He is. Think about when Jesus, the one they thought was going to bring deliverance to them and peace in Jerusalem and a reign that would just mean prosperity and joy and peace and greatness for Israel. But then the Lord was crucified. He died. He was put in a tomb. And there was a lot of unrest, the lack of peace in the disciples' hearts. Those 3 days while Jesus was in the tomb. And then the day came when some were saying He arose from the grave. And they were just, they were confused and they were afraid. And the disciples were gathered together in a room. The doors were closed. Amen. And Jesus just came right into their midst. And what did He say? You know, 3 times we read in several verses there, John 20, I think it is, you know, Jesus spoke to the disciples and He said, Peace be unto you. And a little later again, peace be unto you. And this morning I'd just like to say in the name of the Lord of peace, peace be unto you. In your situation, in your difficulties, in your walk with God, may you have peace in your heart from the Lord. And in your relationship and as husband and wife, may there be peace. And with your children, your families, because you know when first of all, when our relationship with God is broken, how are we going to minister peace to those we're called to minister peace to? Or with our wife or partner, there is unrest and we're not at peace. How are we going to minister peace? How are we going to give peace or find peace? And so I just pray this morning. You know, I've endeavored to pray for every one of you here this morning. Because I don't know if we'll ever see each other again on this side of glory when we leave from here. But may you experience the peace of God in your heart that's going to portray this to others around you. And when it is difficult, when you have that test that's just extremely hard, may God enable you to portray love, grace, humility, peace to the people that God has called you to serve that sometimes can do things that are so difficult to accept. And in those crucial moments when you would want to just speak the truth, this is how it really was, and you hold your peace and you remember that a soft answer. And you remember the truth must be told, but it might need to be told at another moment instead of right now when I want to hold up my flag and make sure that all of you know this is how it really was in that situation. And you just hold your peace. Those things are so difficult. But it is, I believe, God's way. It is a way Jesus would have us to do. And we look at scriptures today, bring it out. And I just want to tell you, I know my way of, you know, maybe even expounding and sharing this morning, I'm unbalanced. I'm not perfect by any means. And I want to give you the liberty to correct me privately or publicly on something, because I'm off balance in things. I realize that. But I want to share with you some things that have been my experience, though, and what I believe make a difference. Biblical principles make a difference in our relationship with others. We draw from Jesus, you know, on the Sea of Galilee with the disciples, and they were out there, and you know what was happening? There was wind, and it was difficult. They were afraid. And Jesus stood up, and he said, "Peace, be still." And the Bible tells us there was a great calm. And I just pray the Lord would do that with you, for you, in your situation that you're facing. We'd like to turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, and read from the scriptures verses 11 through 17. Ephesians 2, 11 through 17. Here in the Bible we read these words: "Wherefore remember," we're called to remember, "that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." May we insert here that we may never forget where we were at one time in our own life, and where we, who we were when we were laying on the road, beside the road going from Jerusalem down to Jericho away from God. May we never forget what the Lord has redeemed us from as we endeavor to seek peace, keep peace, make peace with others. Verse 13 tells us, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. Who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh." What a beautiful and amazing portion of scripture. This morning, I'd like to, if we're going to give this message a title, I'd like to give it this title: The Price of Peace. The price of peace. You will find, we will find, as we endeavor to make peace and keep peace, there's a price to be paid. Someone must pay the price for peace. And in this we find that is what Jesus did. Completely, totally. The price of peace. And in your relationships, you know, as husband and wife and with your church family, someone has to pay the price for peace. And it can't be paid with money, with dollars and cents. And it is much more difficult at times than that, to pay the price for peace. And we'd like to look at 4 points under that heading this morning. The price of peace. Number one is, drawing from Jesus' example, the condescension. The condescension. The coming down. You know, the songwriter has rightly said, "He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me." The condescension. We this morning draw from thoughts of others, like something that Faith Builders had in their little leaflet the spring of 2019. The title of this article is "Imitate the Earthworm." To become like Jesus means to join him in simple, invisible work. The condescension. We turn to Philippians chapter 2 and we notice verses 6 and 7. as we think of Jesus' example in condescending. The Bible tells us who, being in the form of God, Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Someone has said the true test of a servant is to act like a servant when you're treated like a servant. Jesus came as a servant. 2 Corinthians 8:9. There the Bible tells us, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Are we getting the picture this morning? Making peace and keeping peace, it comes with a price. But it is well worth all the effort we have to put forth to allow the Lord to do it through us. We like to talk about going from rags to riches. Jesus went from riches to rags, so that I might be rich. How about it, my friend? The person that has caused you the greatest grief, the person that, you know, in the last members meeting may have stood up right and just blurted out something right in the whole congregation that was just, you know, it just like sent shivers across the whole church family. And every situation is different, but those things happen. Oh, what is our attitude? Where's our heart in toward those people? Someone has to pay the price for peace. It takes condescending. We must be willing to do the same, to do what is right when it is the most difficult thing to do, in seeking peace and making peace and keeping peace, doing what you know is the best for those God has called you to serve, even if it means I have to eat my humble pie again. And it's so hard. But I eat my humble pie. I don't blow my trumpet right now and say, if you only know, this is really how it was. And I just identify with Jesus. And I die to all of that. And I lay myself out on the ground to be trampled on, if must needs be, so that peace might be found and reign. And you know, those are not things that are easy to do. Be the condescension. We make a choice at those crucial moments. Are we going to win their friendship and their love? Are we going to lose it? Right now, it can happen. And those friendships and those relationships that have been salvaged, and today, they're by you. They're in the church. They're a part of you. They're your friends. You know, Jesus spoke of, he doesn't call us servants, he calls us friends. And those very people that it's been so hard to love, are they your friends today? Are they my friends today? Can I call them my friends? You know, brother, you're my friend. And there's things about your life that I see strengths in you that I don't have. And I just want you to know I love you. And sometimes that's not without, you know, first being on our face before the Lord and asking for grace to be able to do just that. The person that you wish would just, you know, maybe stop talking for maybe 1 minute and let you say just a few things in a conversation. And they just keep talking and talking and talking. And you just wait for the moment when God wants you to say something in the right way, the right thing. And it's only love coming from that person. Point number two this morning in this subject is a servant heart. A servant heart. And I know we've already touched verses that bring that out, but please, can we share a few more? If you want to turn to Mark chapter 10, we notice what Jesus said, verses 42 to 45. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Wow. Lordship. And their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's Jesus, the Prince of Peace. One more. We turn to Mark chapter 9. I remember the day. I was struggling. I mean, how low do we need to get in this particular situation? I was out in the horse barn when this verse came to my mind and I looked it up. I want to share it with you here this morning. Mark 9:35. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith to them, if any man desire to be first, well, that's kind of normal for man to want to be first. What does Jesus say we must be? Last of all and servant of all. Today I pray that those brothers and sisters that have made your journey so difficult would be able to still feel in their hearts and know that all you have toward them is a servant heart that loves them and wants the very best for them. May it be all they see coming from your heart in your life. Those things don't happen automatically. But the Prince of Peace paid the price for me to be able to have peace with God. A price must be paid. Am I willing to pay the price to salvage the relationship and to make peace and keep peace? Servant being a servant. A very simple illustration this morning, but one that I think can be an example in some ways of church life. We have here this morning Mr. Onion, Mr. Carrot, Mr. Potato, Mr. Steak. I pray that as your congregation, brotherhood, and church family looks at you as a minister, as a deacon, as a bishop, I pray this is not what they see. Now, absolutely, there is, as we heard today, responsibility and charge, and all of that goes with God's calling on our life. And this is not taking anything away from that. But in our congregations, and those God has called us to serve, are we Mr. Onion? You know, with, you know, Mr. Onion all there together with signs of life coming out of the top of him. Mr. Carrot, Mr. Potato, Mr. Steak. Maybe Mr. Carrot could think, oh, if Mr. Onion just knew. I mean, you know, he's just kind of, I mean, it's just difficult to be with Mr. Onion. I mean, he's Bernie, and he just makes your eyes water when you get around him, and he's just difficult to be around. Mr. Carrot starts feeling pretty good about himself, and you know, but he sees how tall Mr. Onion is there, and he just, you know, maybe I could stand up too, and maybe, well, sure enough, maybe people notice me a little bit more. I stand up too. And then we have Mr. Potato here. Mr. Potato, you know, in his mind could be thinking, you know, I just provide nutrition for so many people, so many ways. So many people like potatoes. I kind of could give an answer to that situation. But you know what? I might could stand up too, couldn't I? And sure enough, yeah. And maybe Mr. Onion says, well, Mr. Potato, if he'd only know it, you know, in our congregation right now, we have people on a carnivore diet, you know, just all carnivore, all meat, you know, and they think potatoes are just full of starch and make you fat. And so Carrot and Onion could say that about Mr. Potato. Well, over here on the side, wow, are those on carnivore diets? That's right. This is really all you need. I mean, we never say it. But you know, this is, all you need is these good steak. This has Mitchell meat sticker on it. This is a grass-fed, grain-fed steak, beef steak. It is so good. This is really all you need. He might could stand up too, sure enough. I mean, sorry, but can I please say this? He might feel like he's Mr. Bishop up here. You know, he's above all them. Let's see where he winds up and where he needs to be. There's something else this morning that to me just brings out such a point, such an importance. Someone has to pay the price for peace. What needs to happen with Mr. Onion, Carrot, Potato, and this beef? What is going to make for a beautiful situation in a congregation? Was plugged in and the heat was turned on at about 6 o'clock this morning. The heat was turned on. It is simmering. Simmering is an interesting word. One of the meanings of simmer is to heat just below the point of boiling. How many times does God let that test come into our life and keep it just under the point of boiling, but maybe we just blow off and we can't handle it. But it's just under the point of boiling, and he gives us grace to do it. And all the beauty of what comes out of that. This morning, where are you and I? Where are we as it relates to seeking peace, keeping peace, making peace? Oh, this is just such a different story. You know what? If we'd just go smell the onion, you know, if we'd get close enough to smell it, yeah, we'd probably, our eyes could water and it just wouldn't have much smell. That carrot, really not much smell. And the carrot or the potato, the raw meat, who wants to taste or smell raw meat? How is it that when all of these same ingredients are put in the crock pot, the heat is turned on, you open this lid and you know what, if I keep it open, you'll be smelling it shortly here. A beautiful aroma. It's just lovely. Look, these carrots, these potatoes and onions in here. And oh, this beef that's just about coming apart a steak. Look at there. It's so tender. Do you know the Bible says we're supposed to be tender-hearted, loving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us? Now, I'm pretty sure everyone, any one of you, would really enjoy putting your teeth in that right now. Who of us would want this raw steak? The price of peace. And I pray God would come and he would in your congregation help all of us to be willing to get in the crock pot with the others. And you know what? Then comes from that such beauty, an aroma, a loveliness that can never be had as long as we're going to be Mr. Meat, Mr. Carrot, Mr. Potato. A servant heart is what makes that happen, I believe. Yes, we've been given a charge. Yes, we have a responsibility. But Jesus said, and just now, just think of Jesus getting up that night just before he's crucified and going and washing the disciples' feet. Shall be servant of all. And did you hear it? Last of all? Many a time, peace is found right there that would be lost. Do you know they struggle with the same things you struggle with? Those that we're called to serve and reach out to, do you know they also, they struggle because, you know, to them it feels like We think we're Mr. Carrot. And we do have responsibility, authority, the charge. But we have to be willing to get right in that crock pot with them and endure heat with them. One of the things I believe that helps win the heart of those that God calls us to serve is being with them in heart through their trials. Reaching out to them. I appreciate greatly that Bertha wants me to always be very careful about ever mentioning her name in a message. I appreciate that. And it's something I seldom do. But can I share one thing with you this morning that I've learned from her that has been so valuable? In our experience of church life, there have been those times that this certain man and woman or family, you know, have just made it so difficult for you. And a lot of you have young children. And I'm just going to tell you, it's so hard. You know, sometimes things are pointed to you as an individual. Sometimes they'll point to your children and point out things they did that were wrong, you know, or why are their dresses made this way, or whatever the case might be. Those things are so hard for a daddy that has a heart for his children. How are you going to help them work through that, my friend? That is not easy. To keep your children guarded and guided and uplifted and not to get an attitude against the church and congregation. How are you going to do that? It takes a daddy with a shepherd heart. How are you going to love that person that said it and love your children and help them accept it and think it's okay and keep them coming? You know what? You daren't go to that child and start talking to them against Brother Joe and saying, oh, if he just, you know, it's just him. It's his. You can't do that. You have to love Brother Joe. And this is what I learned from Bertha. You know what she would do? Sunday morning in church, the wife of the family. You know, now I would just rather kind of slip around this way, you know, because Brother Lee is here. I mean, I'd like to go greet that brother over there, and you know, then I could kind of make my way on out of church. Do you ever feel that way? Bertha would go right to the lady, and she'd talk with her. And she would ask her about her children and what they're doing and how things are going for them and reach out to them, to that dear sister. Yeah, the very one that probably when daddy was on the phone was in the background telling him for sure what all to say. And she'd go right to her and just talk with her and reach out to her. Now I tell you, that ministered to me, and I have endeavored to use that as well. Finding peace, making peace, keeping peace. I tell you, it takes just being willing to be good in that hot pot for the sake of peace. So this morning, I can't tell you it's easy. Or, you know, the people in your congregation, what you have to do is tell them, I've been given a charge and I am responsible. And so, you know, this is just how it has to be. That all has its place and point, but only as what they can see coming from your life. Humility, love, servanthood, sacrifice. I don't view myself as Mr. Carrot. I view myself as in this congregation with responsibility. The cross. The third point is the cross. In seeking peace, keeping peace, it takes the cross. Luke 19, 41 and 42, we see the picture of Jesus looking on the people that he came to save and redeem and weeping over them. And saying, you know, oh, if they had only known the peace that belonged to them. But they resisted it. And there comes a point where we also sometimes do the same. You know, oh, if Brother Joe would have only known. You know, you just see that if he could just take this step, what it would do for his wife, his children, and the whole church family, it would just be so good. At that point, many times we could have anger and bitterness in our hearts, let's remember Jesus wept over those people. Kind of like Moses wept over the people he was called to serve, to the point that he was even willing to have his own name blotted out of the book of life for the sake of his people. Wow, that is just amazing to me. Jesus is our peace. He came and broke down that middle wall of partition between us that we can have peace with God, and that you can have it with your partner and in a church fellowship. The fourth point this morning is two key ingredients. Some of our children knew that we were called and asked to have these messages. And I appreciated so much one of our children bringing out and just sharing that they think, you know, what they have heard said or what they feel like that was important or what may have been said sometime, you know, in a message or in personal talking. They shared, you know, it's love and humility. And I think that is so true. Love and humility. We turn to Ephesians 4 and we notice a picture of humility. Verse 1, where it tells us, and 2, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. If we want to have peace, seek peace, keep peace, humility. There is room at the foot of the cross. And I hope to read, Lord willing, later sometime in one of the messages, an account of a person that humbled himself and there was peace made. Humility, when you feel malice coming from one that you're endeavoring to serve, one that has no idea how long you prayed and sought the Lord in preparing a message, one that doesn't realize how it was last Saturday when you needed to do church work and things, and you know a lot of the brethren were hunting and fishing, and then you preach Sunday morning, and you know, you don't know why, but you just sense some malice. You know, just something that it just almost feels like that brother would be glad if you just didn't do well, or just has some thoughts against you. And in that moment, you choose to love. Maybe it's he's jealous over you. Maybe he would like to be a preacher. Maybe he really wants the position of authority. That can happen. And to just still feel that responsibility, but only express love and goodness, takes the grace of God. When we feel malice, to only show love. Jesus said that if any man ask us to go 1 mile, go with him twain. In church life, we want to remember that. And again, we would just say, in the end, there were those that rejected Jesus, the Prince of Peace. But how many times did Jesus become angry? How many times did he just lash out at his disciples? And it's such a picture to look at again later too, but just how Jesus responded in these situations, it is very, very challenging. In making peace and keeping peace, there's a price to be paid. May we be willing to pay the price for peace. among those God has called us to serve. May we be willing to get in the crock pot with them. May I just, in conclusion, one time we for sure want to be there is when they're going through a difficulty. When there's sickness or maybe a death, being there. Being there and just letting them know we're available. We're here to serve you. Even when we have gotten anything but that from them as individuals, we're there to serve them, to love them, to help them. I think that's all I have in this first message. God's blessings to you as you seek peace, pursue peace, and may God enable you to portray it. May you be blessed with it in your relationship with God, with your partner, and with those God calls you to serve. Could we stand for prayer?